My name is Tom Regan, and I'm a licensed addiction counselor for Heartview Foundation, as well as a certified grief counselor. And welcome to the program we call Recovery Chronicles. This is a half-hour interview program heard a couple of times a week because we repeat each one. These programs are also available as podcasts now. On the KDACFM.org website, I'm happy to say, and a lot of people are going onto that website and listening to these shows. Very special guest today, and she actually works in radio a little bit. We might ask her to tell us what she does there. But her name is Billie Jean Markey.
Yes, it's great to be here.
So nice to have you. And of course, these interviews concern themselves with recovery.
Yes.
And long-term recovery. And you've been in recovery, and you just counted on your fingers and such. How many months? So,
it's been about a year and almost 8 months.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's just wonderful. And where are you from? And tell us about your growing up years a little bit.
Well, I am originally from Ocala, Florida.
Oh.
Yes. And I had a pretty good childhood. I did. I got parents that just loved me, and they just did the best they could. Mm. And, you know.
Any brothers and sisters?
Yes. I have one full brother, meaning we the same mother and father.
Yeah.
And he actually moved up here quite a few years ago. Well, maybe about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
He lives out in Tower City. But
okay. And where's mom and dad?
Back in Florida.
Okay.
Yeah.
You visit?
Actually, I'm leaving Saturday.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty hot, I suppose.
Right? Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
It's nothing I used to.
Yeah. Well, good. So, as you said, your childhood was pretty normal.
Yes. Yeah. You know, everybody's got something to complain about, but it could have always been worse. So, I had it good. I graduated. I went through until about high school, and, you know, that's when the smoking and the drinking started, just the rebellion. You know, I just, you know, I had emotional and, you know, issues of my own and didn't know how to deal. And I, you know, I turned to drugs and alcohol. It got to the point where that just, you know, the smoking and drinking is good, but then it's not enough anymore.
Yeah.
You know, you always move to something, you know, harder. And from where I'm from, it's real easy to get your hands on whatever.
Yeah.
So it escalated quickly to cocaine, to crack.
Mm-hmm.
It just...
Yeah. Were you using IV? Yeah.
No, not when I was young. Mm-hmm. No. I was scared of needles.
Yes.
I still am.
Yes. And that's a good fear to have, isn't it?
Yeah. Not to say I didn't eventually start using IV.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So how bad did it get? I mean, when did you... Did you hit a bottom, and how bad was that bottom?
I didn't hit any bottoms in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't, because it's like, you know, I knew my parents were there, you know, always helped me out of the mess. And my mom always did, bless her heart. And she just, you know, she just wants to see me do good.
Yeah.
She really does. And
how old are you?
I'm 34.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
I was what they call a weekend warrior, you know. Mm-hmm. I would go binge user. I was. I'd go out on the weekends and party real hard and, you know, spend my paycheck on whatever I could get. And
Living at home?
While I was living at home, working during the week and, you know, doing everything I was supposed to do.
Yeah.
But I was, you know, I was going to college too.
Sure.
And working full time. But still just, you know, I could function.
Yeah. You were one of those functional.
Yeah.
I was a functional alcoholic. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm one of those guys who's, well, I never lost a job but I sure had a lot of hangovers.
Yeah, exactly. Those are, I don't miss those.
Yeah. So, what brought you to, how did you get to North Dakota? What brought you here?
Well, I, a friend of a friend, called me up and introduced me to this guy over the phone, and he's from Fargo, North Dakota. So I eventually started a long distance relationship with this guy and ended up coming up here to visit, and I got pregnant right away and never left.
Yeah.
So whirlwind, I decided not to leave, and Mm-hmm. We got married right away and bought a house and got a dog, the whole white picket fence, and got and had my son Jackson. Mm-hmm. And I got married to a man that I hardly knew, and he married a woman he hardly knew. So it was hard. Sure. It was real hard.
Did you were using continue?
No, no, actually it didn't. Yeah. I stopped using there for a while because, you know, I was pregnant, and I stopped using when my son was born. I was still not using.
How old is your son now?
He's six.
Okay.
Yeah. And my son, he was born with autism. So that was just an extra struggle.
Sure.
Added on to somebody who went from being a party girl down in Florida to living in the middle of nowhere, North Dakota, with a son and a family, like, you know, a husband. You know, I'm expected to have all these new responsibilities, and I had no idea.
Yeah.
Just no idea. And I just, I wasn't that good at it. I mean, I was good at being a mom. I really was. And I was a stay-at-home mom with him. Until, you know, when he hit about 3.5 to 4, I started smoking pot again. That was just something I did at night after my son was in bed, after the husband was in bed, something I just, you know, I just did.
And did you have to hide it?
No, no, I didn't have to hide that.
Yeah.
You know, and he was kind of accepting of it. I mean, he didn't really like it, but he was okay with that if it was just that. But then I was starting to get tired all the time, chasing a toddler around, you know, expecting to do this, 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 and this. And I got really depressed. I was just really depressed for a long time. And one of the kids that my son played with, his mom and I ended up becoming friends. And she introduced, when I was, my son was a little over 4, she introduced me to methamphetamine.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I started smoking that. And, you know, as the story goes, it just took over. There was nothing in my life, nothing that I wanted more than that drug.
It is a very, very powerful drug.
Yeah. I mean, and I started doing just terrible things. You know, I ended up cheating on my husband. And, you know, just all these terrible, terrible things. And it was something I swore I would never be and never do. My ex-husband, he found out. He took my son and he left. And there I was alone in this house in the middle of nowhere, North Dakota, alone.
Did you know where they went?
Yeah, they went to his dad's house, but I was alone.
Sure.
And an addict. Yeah. So that obviously was the recipe for disaster.
Yes.
So the only thing I didn't have my son anymore. I didn't have my husband. So it was just like, what am I doing here? What's the point? So I just started using.
Yeah.
And that escalated very quickly into shooting up. And that's when I lost control.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that was your bottom. Yeah, I mean.
Wasn't the bottom. Yeah. That wasn't the bottom yet. Within the first couple months of using, I was involved in a high-speed chase with somebody I should have never even gotten involved with. He took me on a high-speed chase. I wasn't driving.
Yes.
And the SWAT team ended up kicking my door down that day looking for him and I.
Yeah.
And, I ended up going to the police and, you know, talking to them and, you know, they knew that I wasn't, you know, involved in any of that. So they let me go home. But after that, I mean, things got hard. I tried going to Prairie and doing their residential treatment.
Right. You're talking Prairie St. John's.
Prairie St. John's in Fargo. Yeah. Yes. But that didn't work. I ended up just being, you know, just going back to the same thing. So I ended up leaving, and after that, it went to a really dark place. By the end of that was in February, I did Prairie, and then by the end of middle of March 2016, the day night before Easter Sunday, I didn't even know what day it was. I had been up for so long.
Yeah.
I tried to kill myself.
Yeah, on an Easter Sunday, you said.
The night before. Right outside Prairie St. John, because I had been there so many times to try to get sober.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I can't do this again. I can't do this again. I took a whole bottle of pills in their parking lot. And next thing I remember was being in an ambulance.
Why do you think you went there to that site to to do a suicide.
Well, I mean, it was a spur of the moment thing. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't go there planning to kill myself. Yeah. I had just got there and I was, you know, I was fighting inside whether I should go in or if I should leave.
Yeah.
Should I go in or should I leave? And then my purse knocked over and a bottle of pills rolled out.
I see.
And it just took that split second and I'm just like, no, I don't want to do either.
My goodness. Yeah. What kind of pills were they?
It was my sleeping medication.
Yeah. So what happened next? And this is quite a story. Yeah.
Yeah. I woke up in the ambulance, screaming in pain because the guy was trying to put an IV in me kept missing. And ironically, you know, being an IV user, I knew where the good veins were. And so I pointed at my arm. To where he could place the IV, and then I don't remember after that until waking up in the hospital the next day.
Yeah, you might have saved your own life at that moment by finding that individual a good vein.
Yeah.
You know, but my goodness, so you woke up in the hospital and...
It was definitely... that was an eye-opening experience for me. And after that, I mean, I woke up and I felt even worse than I did before, before I tried. It wasn't like praise the Lord. Yeah. I just, you know, I'm alive. No, it was, I can't even kill myself. Right.
Yeah. Like I've heard that before.
Yeah. What good am I? Like, I just can't even kill myself. Right. Yeah. So the doctors, you know, saw that and I was ended up getting put in the psych ward over at Sanford, a hospital in Fargo. And then after 2 weeks of observation there, they sent me to the state hospital.
Yeah.
You know,
Jamestown. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it was the chemical dependency suicide watch. I mean, I was just in a really dark place.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, after, you know, being there for a couple of weeks, I met this wonderful woman. Her name's Amy. And she was one of the therapists there at the state hospital. And we just kind of clicked. You know, I had been sober long enough. I'd got stabilized on some depression medication. So I was starting to feel a lot better. And then I ended up getting a hold of a friend through the internet over at the state hospital. And he's like, he had no idea what was going on. He's like a brother to me from young age. And he flew me down to Florida and picked me up. And I stayed over at his place in St. Augustine.
Yeah.
And
childhood friend?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just somebody who wanted to help me, you know, get sober, you know, didn't want to see me, in
Amazing.
That mess.
No.
Yeah. And then I ended up flying back because I was still in the middle of a messy divorce. Throughout all of this, looming in the background is this big divorce and custody thing with my son. So, you know, it made it harder. But I had a court date, so I came back up and I ended up getting awarded some spousal support, which I didn't deserve at all. And I ended up getting a place and I was like, okay, I'm going to do it right this time. Nope, fell right back
again.
Into it. You know, because I had that freedom.
Yes.
I had a place
no one watching.
So, I mean, that spiraled out of control. I met this other guy and it was just, it just was a disaster. I ended up being sexually assaulted and,
you could write a book. Have you written a book?
Maybe. No, no, not yet. Yeah. Okay. I could write a book. The rock bottom was after losing my apartment and I ended up moving into this run down, rickety old, like, just disgusting trailer with these weird people, you know, not knowing if, you know, my things were going to get stolen, you know, who's going to stop by, who's going to kick the door down, you know, at any moment. And I just, you know, it's basically just waking up in the disgusting mess that the darkness of this world pulled in on me and with a needle hanging out of my arm, nonetheless. But something woke me up that day and said, and I just heard this looming voice inside me saying, that's enough.
Yeah.
Enough is enough. Yeah. Look around you. And I looked around me and I just grabbed everything I could of mine.
Yeah.
Drove myself back to Prairie St. John's where all of it happened. And I went inside and I said, I'm done.
Wow. Yeah.
I haven't looked back since.
Not since. Yeah.
Nope. That was October 16th, 2016.
Yeah.
Actually I forgot to mention 8 days before I got sober. I found out that my biological father died.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I wasn't able to be there for any of that because of my addiction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't get to say goodbye. I didn't get any closure. None.
Yeah.
Because I was too busy getting high.
Yeah. Quite a story. Mm-hmm. So, what has kept you?
Kept me sober?
Yeah. In recovery.
In recovery.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, after I was released from Prairie St. John, I went into their outpatient treatment because they allowed me to go back in there. They wouldn't let me back in the residential. I had burnt way too many bridges. Mm-hmm. Well, when I was there, I found out about a place called North Dakota Adult and Teen Challenge. Mm-hmm. And
In Mandan, North Dakota.
North Dakota. Yeah. And I figured I'm already in Fargo. Why not?
Yes.
So I applied. Mm-hmm. And it took me about 2 months to get in, but I had this very nice man that I had met, older man, who offered me a place to stay because he cared and, you know, he wanted to help me get back on my feet and he gave me a safe place to stay and to get sober.
In Fargo.
Fargo. This
I see. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. This is while I'm waiting to get accepted.
Sure.
And, I ended up being accepted, and I went into the program on January 4th, 2017, and I had managed to stay sober from October all the way till then.
Right.
And that's where I had to face everything that I was running from my whole life and fill that empty void that I had in my heart that I was trying to fill with all these things. And, you know, I filled it with God. And realized, looking back in all those situations, why didn't I die? Why didn't I go to prison?
Yes. Yeah.
Why, you know, all these things that, you know, it's just like,
and that voice you heard that morning you know, that sudden urge to
stop,
pick up your things and get the heck out. And
and never look back.
Yeah.
And it's all glory and praise to him for pulling me out of the hole. The darkness that he did. And I learned so much about myself through the Teen Challenge program. I was in there for 14 months.
Mm-hmm. That's about how long their program is, correct? And you're called a student, isn't that correct?
I was called a student, yes. They don't call us patients, you know, because it's a recovery center, not a treatment center.
And it's a faith-based recovery center.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, they try to get you off. They don't really want, you know, they want you to live the way God intended you to live and learn as much as you can about God and, you know, learn a lot about yourself and what you're capable of and who you are. And, you know, I learned that I'm a child of God, you know, there's no condemnation in my life now. And, when I'm walking in the light, there's no darkness that can be there.
Right.
So, yeah, I've learned so much.
And I'm sure that whether you know it or not, I'm sure that your story and you yourself have helped and inspired many people.
I hope so. Yeah. I want to be that, you know, in Revelation, it talks about we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the power of our words and testimony. I want to be that walking testimony. Mm-hmm. I want my life, everything that I've been through, to not be in vain.
Yes.
You know, I feel like I went through all of it for a reason, and I can be that beacon of light to let people know there's a way out.
Yes.
And I'm living proof.
Right.
Of that.
Yes. Yeah. And as you know, I'm an addiction counselor, and I feel the same way in this respect. I told a group a few weeks ago that I think it's in my job description to smile. And certainly there's a spiritual side to my recovery as well. But the way I put it, especially when I'm at work.
Yeah.
But I feel I should be smiling all the time.
Exactly.
And, you know, a person can't because things happen. But I just... if I'm not smiling, why should my patients want to have what I have?
Yeah.
You know, that's what I mean. I want to be that beacon. I want to be that example.
Yes.
And, you know, I fail every day. We all fail every day to a certain extent. But I want to be able to show them by example that, hey, it is possible.
Yeah.
Recovery is possible.
And it's,
happiness is possible.
It's like when you fall, what do? You get back up.
Yeah, you're right.
You trip and fall when you're walking.
Yes.
What are you going to do? Just stay on the ground and cry?
Right.
Or are you
right.
going to get back up and keep going to where you were going to?
That's right. You know, and life is cyclical anyway, I feel. I mean, we have ups and downs. It's like a roller coaster.
Seasons of life.
So, yes. I love that. Yeah, some days I wake up and I wonder, why do I feel so great? This is wonderful.
Yeah.
And I go outside and the air smells so good and it's a lovely morning. And then other times I wake up and I think I feel kind of crabby today. How come?
You know, yeah, why is this happening?
That's right.
But, so, you know, and then, you know, I just have to remind myself on days like that, that it's okay to feel this way. Mm-hmm. You know, because when I'm back in my using days, it's like, I don't want to feel this way. So what did I do? I reached for something.
Right.
And I just, because I didn't think it was okay.
We reached for something artificial.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's okay to have a whole array of emotions. And I'm learning to be okay with that. You know, it's still a process with my anxiety, but it's little to none. Mm-hmm. I get stressed out sometimes, but I just have to remind myself, this is normal.
Yes.
It's natural to have some sort of stress, because if you didn't, we'd all be in trouble, you know?
Right.
It's just a instinctual thing.
Yeah, and I've read that, and I'm sure you have too, that some of our greatest heroes and athletes and have anxieties. I've read where some of our greatest athletes and musicians and singers, and they get this terrible stage fright before stage fright before a big game, and they're and they might even be backstage or on the sidelines, you know, throwing up. But I don't really want to get too descriptive here. But once the game starts, they're in.
They're
it.
Good.
They're mm-hmm. once they're on stage, which is really something to remember that we can't be at the top of our game.
No.
Usually when I'm nervous, I just tell people I'm nervous, and that helps too.
Yeah, we just got to remember when we're on top of the world. I mean, it's coming. It's coming that, you know, there's going to be something. It's just inevitable that something's going to happen. That's not going to keep us on the top anymore.
Right.
And we just have to remember that's a season.
That's right.
But when we're at the bottom, we got to remember that's a season also, because there's only way to go is up from there.
That's right.
So there's hope in all of it. When you're on the top of the world, just know that it's not going to last forever. In the valley.
Right.
And, in the valley. You know, and then the best part of getting to the top is that climb. And there's so much learning.
It's the journey.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Our guest today is Billie Jean Markey, and the time is going way too fast, as I know it would. This is only a half an hour program, and I don't know if I had a chance to tell you, Billie Jean, and we've talked a couple of times, but we lost a daughter 12 years ago, and she was 21 years old, and thank goodness I had many years of recovery before that, and as I said, there's a very strong spiritual side to my recovery, and I got through that week. I mean, we got through that week, and I never wanted to use I really felt that the cravings, the urges had been lifted from me.
Yeah.
And I also knew that if I wanted to dishonor my daughter's memory, all I had to do was use, you know, or get drunk or something. And so, but as I look back on that, as I think about that, it's kind of a miracle, you know, that here I am, an alcoholic and a drug addict, and was the very worst week of my entire life.
You got through the worst thing a parent can think of possibly happening without using again. And that just goes to show that, you know, there's power. You know, there's a power greater than all of us.
Yes. Yeah. And as I look back, it was about this time of year. So I've been thinking about that.
Yeah.
It was in early May. And as we're recording this program, it's about the middle of May, but I you know, when that time comes up every year. But I do remember, even during that week, I had some moments of what I would call bliss. One morning I drove up to the funeral home, and it was they have a tree blossoming in the back I have to go see if that tree is blossoming this week, as a matter of fact. But just beautiful pink blossoms. And I had some classical music playing on the radio. And I felt so much serenity. I thought, I just knew what a gift that was. So what's your advice to, I think we have listeners to this radio program who, they know they're in trouble. You know, they know they need some help right now, and they've been trying to quit on their own. What's your advice to them today?
Well, if you think that there's no hope, things can seem that way, and that's what the enemy wants us to believe. Mm-hmm. And the enemy is all around us. This world is not. This world is not a nice world at all, but there is good in the world.
Yes.
And we exist, meaning, you know,
human beings,
as there are good ones here. And I'm glad that I'm a good one now. And yes. I would love to let you know that there are people here that want to help.
Mm-hmm. Like you.
Yeah. Like me. Mm-hmm. I want to help. In any way possible. North Dakota Adult and Teen Challenge is an amazing, amazing recovery program. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're serious and you want help, just give us a call. We'd love to help you. I know Heartview is a great place also.
Both nonprofit.
Both nonprofit organizations. Yeah, right. North Dakota Adult and Teen Challenge is a minimum of 12-month program, so you have to be committed. But the length of time is worth it, because you've already learned a new habit, a new way of living by the time you graduate the program.
I know. Go ahead.
Oh, I was also going to say that just know that there is a God who loves you, and that...
And sometimes it's hard to get there when you're in the depths of of despair.
Yeah. I mean, there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yep.
So don't give up. Suicide is the worst idea ever. Trust me, I know. You don't want to end up on the other side with no, you know, not in your whole life would have been in vain. I just feel that when you try to end it that way, it's just not a good idea. Reach out for help. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have a lot of money to be able to get the help you need.
Right.
When I went into Teen Challenge, I had nothing but the clothes on my back. And here I am today. I now work there. I am working over at KNDR. And I just, you know, I'm venturing out and opening as many doors as I can and doing as much as I can with my life now. And I just really want to help people. So
perfect.
If you need help, just give us
Thank
a call.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And our time is up. I hate to say it, but, you know, I want to say our guest has been Billie Jean Markey. And when I asked Billie Jean to be on the program, she said yes so fast, right away. And I know that's because you want to tell people that there is a way and that serenity and recovery is possible for all of us. And we close this program with prayer, with the serenity prayer. So let's do that. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you.
I sing the song because I love the man. I know that some of you don't understand. But to keep from running out, I've seen the needle and the damage done, a little part of it in everyone, but every junkie's like a setting sun.